The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Let me ask you a question, and please be honest with yourself. You don't have to stand up and answer the question, but think about the question. Did you feel, even in just a tiny little way, beaten up by the scripture readings you heard this morning? Did you wonder about your standing before God, hearing the harsh words of law that rang through the scripture readings this morning? The law that not merely commands you what you are to do and how you are to live as God's child, but the law that also condemns you because you do not live as faithfully as you should as God's child. It was there in the Old Testament reading. And it was there in a shocking way. If the righteous turns away from his righteousness, if he falls by it, he will be judged as the wicked. His righteousness will not deliver him when he transgresses. And how about the wicked? Though they have done great wickedness, when they turn away from that wickedness after they have sinned, if they do what is right, they shall surely live and shall not die. It's kind of confusing, isn't it? I mean, am I one of the righteous? Have I ever turned away from the way of righteousness and done evil? Then it sounds like there is no hope for me at all. And the wicked, who's done wickedness all his life, and he turns away from his wickedness, he shall live, declares the Lord. And Israel's complaint sounds just and good when they say, the way of the Lord is not just. He is not being fair. And in 1 Corinthians, the epistle reading for today, Paul makes reference back to the Old Testament, back to Israel, who had been delivered out of Egypt, out of cruel bondage there, who had been brought across the Red Sea, baptized in the sea, as Paul writes, who all ate the same spiritual food, the manna in the wilderness, and all ate the same spiritual drink that came from the rock that Moses was instructed to strike so the people could drink in the wilderness. And yet we have these words with most of them, despite these wonderful gifts, these wonderful provisions of God, with most of them God was not pleased. And we can know that he was not pleased with them because they were overthrown in the wilderness. And then we have this in the epistle. These things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Well, do you ever desire evil? Do you ever find yourself tempted strongly in some way and you wish you could just reach out and give in to that temptation and grab the sin that's it's extending before you? We might not desire evil, to gossip about someone in violation of the eighth commandment, to lust after a woman or a man in our heart, to tell lies, to covet what belongs to someone else, to despise, neglect, and ignore God's word, to use God's name falsely. Do we desire evil and neglect the good? Paul says, some of them indulged in sexual immorality, and 23,000 fell in a single day, struck down in judgment by God. Some put God to the test and were destroyed by serpents. Some grumbled against God, not trusting Him, but saying, "Why are we here? We should have stayed in Egypt." And they were destroyed by the destroyer. And Paul writes, these things happened to them as an example, but were written down for our instruction. For our instruction, upon whom the end of the age has come, in Christ Jesus, God become man, God entering into human reality, into a fallen world, as the Savior of the world. And then, what about today's gospel reading? Let me read a verse that will help you understand the context of the gospel. Immediately before the gospel reading for today, Jesus berates those who are listening to him, the crowds who are listening to them. He says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once a shower is coming. And it happens that way. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, Jesus says, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Or going back to today's epistle, the end of the ages. Why don't you know how to interpret these things? Well, there were some present at that very time who heard this and they thought, hey, I've got it. I know how to interpret it. Lord, did you hear about those Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices? What about them, Lord? That must be a sign. That must be a sign that they were more wicked than everyone else, because otherwise God would not have had Pilate strike them down. That was a common theology of the day among the Jews, that if you did wrong, God was going to get you in this world. And certainly, we do deserve God's temporal punishment, His punishment now in this world on account of our sins. But Jesus takes it farther than that in His reply to those who told Him about the Galileans. He answered them, do you think that these particular Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? Well, you're wrong. No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Unless you repent. Jesus goes on to extend the point and to drive it home. Okay, well, you name the Galileans. I've got one for you. How about those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them? Do you think that because this happened to them, they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repent is a key word here. What does it mean to repent? Repentance is not merely feeling sorry that you sinned and got caught. It's not being sorry that you got drunk and went for a drive and crashed your car into a tree and you're going to be a quadriplegic the rest of your life. Or that you were having an affair with another man's wife, and he found the two of you and shot you. Boy, I wish he hadn't caught us. That is not repentance. Repentance is recognizing that you have offended God on account of your sins. Repentance is recognizing that you have done wrong, that you have transgressed God's commandments. Again, it's not merely sorrow over sin, and it's certainly not sorrow that you got caught. I mean, think of Judas, who betrayed his Lord, who sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. He repented after a fashion. He was sorry about what he did. He went to the Sanhedrin, the high priests, and said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And he threw the 30 pieces of silver back at them onto the floor of the temple. And they said, "Really nice, comforting guys. Well, what's that to us? Take your silver and go, betrayer." There's no forgiveness for Judas there. He didn't hear any from the priests who were supposed to be serving God. So in despair, in the overwhelming guilt of what he felt, he went out and hanged himself. He repented after a fashion, but his repentance lacked something. And what it lacked was faith in the mercy of God. Faith in the mercy of God. Faith in the mercy of God made known to us in our Lord, His Son, Jesus Christ. We've heard the law in today's readings from Scripture. We've heard the law from Jesus' lips Himself. The law of God is preached as a warning. The law of God is preached as a threat. Yeah, it instructs us on how we are to live as God's people in Christ. But if you are trusting in your righteousness to save you, well, it's as Ezekiel says in the Old Testament reading, "The righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins." So if you're trusting in your righteousness, you better strike a perfect record, because otherwise your sin is still upon you. If we keep the whole law in every point but just sin against it once, we are guilty of the whole thing, James writes. God says the soul that sins shall surely die. So we seem to have a dilemma here, but let's go on in the gospel reading for today. Jesus told the people this parable. A man had a fig tree, and the fig tree was a symbol of the nation of Israel. In Scripture, it appears in the Old Testament, it appears in the New Testament. And he planted in his vineyard this fig tree. Again, a vineyard is a symbol of Israel. You can see that especially in the book of Isaiah. This man came seeking fruit on this tree, and he found none. The tree was not doing what he intended it to do when he planted it. So he said to the vine dresser, "Look, 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. It's useless. Why should it use up the ground? We'll replace it with a nice rose bush or something." But the vine dresser answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also. Just wait until I dig around it and I put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down." And what is left implied here is that the man who planted the fig tree listened to his vine dresser, and he let the vine dresser do as he had suggested. The fig tree is a representation of Israel, the nation of Israel, the leaders of Israel who rejected Christ. And the tree was eventually cut down some 40 years after Jesus spoke these words. It wasn't just the tower in Siloam that fell and killed the 18. The walls of Jerusalem and the temple came crashing down. And the city was sacked. And thousands of people died under the Roman sword. Before that, thousands had died of starvation in the siege that surrounded the city. They had rejected God's Christ. They had rejected the one who came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There was no repentance, there was no turning in faith to Christ, and so there was no fruit on that fig tree. And all that was nearly 2,000 years ago, so what does that have to say to us? Well, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. This church is what, 120-some years old? Does that mean that because this church has been here for 120 years, we can take pride in that, we can stand upon that, we can boast of that before God? Well, no. Jesus tells us unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. You see, our righteousness cannot possibly be found in ourselves. As individuals or as a congregation, it cannot possibly be found in our heritage unless that heritage is God's Word, unless that heritage is the gospel of Jesus Christ, preached in its truth and purity, unless our heritage is the sacraments of holy baptism and holy communion made use of eagerly, hungrily, repentantly. To repent, to complete repentance, is to turn from your sin in the acknowledgement that by your sin you deserve to die, and to turn to the one who died in your place as the Lamb of God who bears away all the sins, each and every one of them, of all the world. Every person who has ever lived is living now or ever will live. Luke foreshadows this at the beginning of today's gospel reading. The people present when he's teaching tell Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Yeah, they were sinners. Jesus acknowledges that. But how about the one Galilean who was not a sinner? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was sacrificed on the cross according to God's will. And guess who was involved in this? Pontius Pilate. Jesus is the Holy Son of God. Jesus is the one who kept God's law in your place, all of it for you, for all the world. By God's grace, through faith, his righteousness is imputed to you because you know what? As he was hanging there on the cross for those 6 hours, as darkness enveloped him, as the judgment of God for all human sin fell upon him and he bore the guilt of that sin on the cross. And as he was forsaken by his Father in heaven because Jesus had become the worst sinner ever, there for that time span on the cross, Jesus was taking your sin and your guilt away. Yes, He was. Yes, He has. Yes, He did for you. He bore your sin so you could bear His righteousness. So God can look at you and say of you, as He said of Jesus at His baptism and at His transfiguration, "You are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, if you are female, and with you I am well pleased." Not because you have done everything you should, but because the Holy Spirit has come to you and given you faith in my Son, and you trust in Him. And he who is righteous by faith shall surely live. Righteous by faith. That's what you are. That's how God sees you. Covered in the righteousness of Christ, who died for you, who was raised again for you, who is now at the right hand of God interceding for you. You are righteous in Christ. Your sin is taken away. And yeah, you know, God could peel off the robe of Christ's righteousness that He has imputed to you, that He covered you with in your baptism, that He cleans up again and again and again for you as you hear the gospel preach and have your sins absolved and partake of the Holy Supper. God could peel away those robes of Christ's righteousness and look beneath them and see all of your sin and all of your guilt and say, "Ugh!" But He doesn't do that. He does not do that. For that would be to dishonor and to treat as nothing the holy and precious, innocent sufferings and death of Jesus. And that He is not going to do, because He raised Jesus from the dead. And that meant God was well pleased with Jesus's, "It is finished, it is done, it is accomplished, the sin of the world has been taken away." One more thing, and then I'm going to shut up. You're going to say, "Oh, thank you." In the gradual for today, love this gradual, take it to heart. We say it every Sunday during Lent. "Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." That's what faith is. Fixes its eyes on Jesus continuously. Look into Jesus as He's present for you in the Word and the sacraments. Look into Jesus who went to the cross for you and did it joyfully because He knew it would save you. He knew it would make you a child of God. He knew that it would give you a home in heaven. He knew that it would bring you to the resurrection of the body. So repentance is completed by faith in Jesus. Continually looking to Jesus. Yeah, you and I sin. Yeah, we surely deserve to die. But Christ died in our place. And He was raised again for us so that we too may surely live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.